tonight is to talk to you about Kaas, which is of course a Midah Ra'ah, and we have to avoid it at all costs. Anger is something that not only has a spiritual corruptive impact on the soul, but it also on the body, on the physical body. Psychologists and neurologists have told us how dangerous anger is. And Chazal compare anger to Avodah Zarah, we'll soon see. So our goal for tonight is to see if we can connect two of the great Bali Musar, who are centuries apart, and that's the Peleoids on Kaas, together with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz on Kaas, and we'll see the similarities. But what I want to do is to connect that to the Parsha, to Parsha's Matos. And the key word that we're looking for is Vayiktsof. And we're going to find that this word appears over and over again as a reference to anger. But in particular, it appears a few times with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's a Pella. So we want to really raise that question. Is Moshe Rabbeinu guilty of anger? And it comes up here in Parshas Matos and in a few other places in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. And I can tell you from experience, and you could all agree with me, that anger is something that could really wreak havoc, whether it's in family life, certainly with regard to husband and wife, with regard to parents and children. It could wreak havoc in political life. Once you have a politician of power getting angry at others, you don't know where it's going to lead you. Could really break up a country into pieces. And almost at every level, whether it's in the working place, employer, employees, anger has a tremendous impact. Unfortunately, we live in a very pressured society. You would think that with all the advances in modern technology, communications, etc., you would think that maybe we would overcome anger, but yet it seems to go in the reverse. And the issue of anger has become even more profound as a result of contemporary life. Everyone's on the move. Everyone is moving helter-skelter, pressured, trying to make schedules and make times, you know, to be there exactly on time, to accomplish as much as possible. Perhaps for some of us with sensitive souls, it's an existential experience in which time becomes so precious. But sometimes we are in such a pressure because we want to, as we say in Yiddish, chaperein, to make sure that every minute is filled. We take upon ourselves commitments and obligations and to some extent overwhelm ourselves with what we've taken on. We've, as the proverbial phrase goes, we take more than we can chew up. We eat more than we can chew. And as a result, our schedules are so pressured, dachus, as the Israelis would call it, that we're in a pressure. We get angry. We you know, it's like a keg of oil, of some explosive, that if the smallest spark will flow, it goes up in flames. Kaas is very often compared to Eish, to a fire, and it spreads. And it encompasses so many different people, even though these concentric circles, they start with one individual who's in a state of Kaas, and it has an impact on others. The Rambam in his Shmona Prakim speaks about the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Chukas at the rock, at the sela which he hit, and Shimuno Amorim, he lashes out Moshe Rabbeinu at the people, and the Rambam sees that as a kind of a kaas that's misplaced, that the people weren't guilty of that sin, but you know, once there was kaas, then everyone around starts blaming themselves, feeling guilty. We begin with the Peleoids on kaas, on anger. And he writes, Yodua chomer kaas. It's well known, the severity of anger. And we'll soon see that no one's really free of this. Even what you think is the most calm people, sometimes that's on the surface, but they're really they're really hiding some deep anger, and it flares up. You'll find in all the writings, Temasev Saros Enosh, if you read what they write about Kas, you know, the hairs on your skin start standing up because of the chomesh, about the severity and the implications and the impacts of anger when they get out of control. And Isha Chavetz Chaim, somebody who wants he loves life, and he has a teva, natural tendency towards the midah of kas, then b'koch yigbar b'rov oz v'satzumos, he's got to really garnish together all of his discipline, all of his power. I mean, he really has to concentrate beyond normal. B'rov oz v'satzumos, ligdar atzmo, to make for himself. To distance himself, to create fences for himself, to protect himself, siyogin, in order to make sure that he saves himself. And the vision that the Pelioit sort of portrays in front of you is someone who's drowning in water and he has to pull himself out of the water. That's limshal chatzmo, lahatzel nafsh. He has to save himself. You know, grab onto some sort of a mechanism that will protect him. He read his shachas from going all the way down to the bottom. You know, the Pelioitz is against, obviously as a Balmusi, he's against bad traits, but this kind of language you won't see too often in the Pelioitz. And I don't think he's exaggerating. Tachbulos Yasa, he says in order to fight the battle against the Kaas, you have to use tachbulos, a strategy. You have to figure out a way of outsmarting the Yetzer that drives towards anger, you know, and you have to do it before you get to anger. You know, once you're in the clutches of anger, there's not much that you can do. Vagoder agodol sheyirsham b'ksav. He suggests that a person write down on a piece of paper. It's almost like a training exercise to review Yolaket. He should anthologize all the statements of Chazal in the Shas and the Midrashim about anger. Again, today you don't even have to bother doing that. There are a number of easier ways. You don't have to pick up a pen and a paper. You can print out from any number of different programs. Like, for example, Bari Lai, just write in Kas and see all the different quotes and just print them all out. Or, for example, there's a book called the Sefer HaGadol, which is an anthology. So you just look up Kas and it'll give you pages and pages of the statements of Chazal about Kas. But Yulzi Karlienov, the main thing is that he read them from time to time. You know, just to have it on a piece of paper. Ubahem yege mideyom yom, on a daily basis he should really work on this and make sure that he's instilling in his heart a certain fear, so to speak, a certain to be repulsed by kas. And he should engender within his heart leman yira v'yifachin, that he should be overwhelmed with fear when it comes to a kas. He should see it as a fire that he has to run away from. Yachsel yachorov, again, a vision. You know, before we had this vision of someone who's drowning and he has to pull himself out of the water. Here he has a different vision of someone who is facing a very dangerous place and he has to move backwards. You know, yachsel yachorov. You know, the fire is spreading. And then he should employ his yetzer atov to try to calm himself down. Maybe he means, I'm just adding possibly, to think of positive thoughts, and even if he's, you know, overly sensitive, and that's setting like a, you know, that's like a spark that's lighting up this barrel of oil, and it's going to flame. He says he should think of the positive things that maybe justify in a certain sense, or find merit in what the other person is saying, instead of attributing to that person such negative feelings that instill anger or arouse anger. He also offers another possibility, that he should punish himself every time he gets angry. How does he punish himself? He penalizes himself, a self-inflicted penalty. You know, no one in the Western world, in any legal system, is going to impose penalties for people who get angry, because midos are not built into the Western legal system. But you can take it upon yourself that, for example, whenever you get angry, you will automatically pay a certain penalty, or you'll fast a certain fast.
V'imlo yuchal atzor berucho milichos. If it, nevertheless he's stuck in a habitual kind of quagmire, which he repeats himself over and over again, al kolpanim yishmar lepiv machsom miladaber b'shas kas. So if he has to get angry. Again, we don't want people to get angry at us, but certainly we don't want to get angry at others. Then what he should do is, if he can't control his anger, at the very least, what he should do is, he should seal his lips. Because what can come out of a person's mouth when they're angry is something that will remain forever and ever. You can't remove it. So you have to really gather together a tremendous amount of energy and self-discipline to silence yourself at a moment of anger, not to say things that you'll regret. And then he says that on the highest level, he should be like a deaf person, shelo yishma, that he doesn't get sensitive when people say things. Get sensitive. He doesn't react with anger. He should make himself into a mute person, so to speak. So, you know, we speak about the deaf mute. We're not usually, you know, praising a deaf mute. You know, these are not great actors, but sometimes it pays to learn, even from a deaf mute, to be deaf, to allow the words that are being directed towards you to, you know, like arrows, to let them fly over your head, and don't listen to them. Because once you let these words go in, you're going to get angry. Or ke'ilim, even if you do get angry, to make yourself like a mute, and not to lash back at someone, because once you start that, it's like an avalanche. You're going to say things, and it gets you more and more angry. And then he should try to do, again, he's looking for different control mechanisms. One control mechanism is that he shouldn't listen. The other, you know, that's after all the other preparatory stages about writing down the Chazal and reviewing them on the regular. But he should quiet himself down. And if he can't quiet himself down totally, try to control the volume of your voice. You know, a person who's angry can still have control over the volume, and he could lower his tone. So even though he's saying things out of anger, his heart is on fire, but nevertheless, he can calm himself down. And that'll bring to Ritsu. Ritsu means a certain pacification. The person says, oh, I see that he's calm, and he's lowering his voice. But again, in order to do this, you have to let the anger boil up within you. And that's very toxic. That's very dangerous. It's quite explosive. You know, of course, you have to find ways of getting that anger out of you. And again, we have to investigate those ways. But at the very least, try to bottle up that anger for the moment. Lats are b'milin sheyuchal, that he should try as best as he can to hold back his words when he gets angry. V'oz yeah, hakas okar. Okar means it won't produce any fruits, you know, any negative fruits, of course. Ki adua, he says that with regard to kas, we have a principle called avera goreres avera. One sin brings about another sin. For example, there's a tremendous sin called machlokas, when people fight against each other. And it really starts with anger. Once there's anger, then this dispute. V'yilbash klola, and chas v'sholem, he may start cursing, and other ills and evils that'll come from his anger. But shtika v'yisakas, if I had a metaphor to present you, says the Pelioites,
a metaphor of what?
To present to you with regard to shtika, it would be kemayim la'esh, just like you have a fire. You have to pour on water for the fire to calm down the fire, to lower the flame. So too, shtika, if you can control your mouth, that will calm you down, at least for the moment. Again, it's not going to be the ultimate solution, but at least for that moment, at a temporary basis. And he quotes the famous Gemara in Chulin on the Pasuk in Iyov Tola Eretz al Blima, Eina Olam Iskayim Elamisha Bolem Piv Bishas Meriva. The greatest kium of the world that keeps the world going, because otherwise the world is going to become a very dangerous place and in very precarious situations when you're angry, is bolein piv, that he controls his mouth. When? B'shas meriva. That is a tremendous midah. If a person is in a brawl with someone, you know, there's a contesting one with the other, and he controls his mouth. That requires an endless amount of fortitude and power and energy. And you know what? His friend is doing him evil. And what does he want to do? He wants to get angry. What's he going to gain by that? You know what? He himself is going to suffer. The psychologists prove this today with many investigations, that anger causes physical pain. Mm-hmm. And it could wreck your whole psyche and your body as well. So therefore, gorem ro lenafsho, those are the three key words. I think of everything that the Peliotes presented here, these are the three key words. Gorem ro lenafsho. He may think that anger is good for him, but it's just the opposite. It's gorem ro lenafsho. And not only is the spirit destroyed by anger, but even the basar, even the flesh, meaning the physicality of man, is also destroyed by anger. But rather, if he hears these words that are being hurled in his direction, and he feels insulted, and he's about to get angry, he should think, and this is of course what we've discussed on many occasions, the midah of anova, of humility, yachshov mahu umachayav. What is he going to do? He's going to be omed el kavod. He's going to say, well, how could this person get away with it? I have to get angry at him and lash back at him. Why doesn't he think about the fact that kol inyonei olam hazeh hakol havel? What's important is the way God appreciates us. How does God evaluate us? Not what other people think of us. What other people think of us is called, in the words of Shlomo HaMelech, havel havalim. It's all meaningless. It's just a childish play. So you get really insulted because people put you down. You know, they don't let you express yourself in the way you want to express yourself in life, and you feel mikupach, as the Israelis say. That means, you know, you're put down and you can't achieve. You know, in business this is so common, where a person needs to be advancing in business and he realizes that no one's allowing him to advance. He should realize that that's only from the perspective of this world, but he can create things for himself, for the next world, that is so much more important and eternal and essential. And he should realize that he has to have bitachon, he has to rely on Hashem, that everything that happens to him is part of a divine plan. Umayis onein adam chai, this is a pasuk that talks about the fact that a person who really starts getting upset, that's his onein, you know, from the Lashon onein, really, he should get upset about his own sins, not about what other people are saying to him. He shouldn't be getting angry at other people. He should be worrying about his own slate, his own evaluation in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what the poskim say about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The whole year round, we tend to think, what do they think of us? What does Yenim think of us? But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have a much more solemn and true reality. That's what the Rambam says, that the shofar is meant to arouse us. And Uru Yishena Mishnaschem, and the Rambam says that it wakes us up and shakes us out of the hevel, the meaningless evaluation and value system, the false value system that we thrust ourselves into. What we should be upset about, if anything, is our own sins. The Ein Adam Nogea B'Mashem Muchan L'Chaveru. He has to realize that if he's not getting something in life, it's probably because it's designated for someone else. Again, that's a very high level of emuna and bitachon. It's really a tough pill to swallow. You look around and you see people who are advancing and you're not advancing. How can you come to the conclusion that what he's advancing is that was meant for him? Unless you have a great faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why psychologists say that, especially during periods like the Holocaust, those who had faith had a greater chance of survival. And a tremendous amount of energy and fortitude that it takes to have that faith. The ein lashimo, and not to blame someone who's really, in effect, he really deserves your anger, but haser kas mi libo. There's a very famous musa work that's called haser kas mi libo. That's a pasuk. I forget where the pasuk is. I think it's in Mishlei. And as a result of removing kas from his heart, mavir ra mi b'sara, he removes evil from his very existence. Now, this week's parasha, as you know, is Parashas Pinchas. And one of the great Bali Musar of our generation, I was zocher to hear him a number of times, was Reb Chaim Shulevitz. So we have a book here You'll find an English version, but it's very different than the Hebrew version, called Reb Chaim's Discourses. I actually have a copy, but I don't have access to it right now. And frankly, I'd rather learn it in the original. And I photocopied this for you on the other side of your first page in this little handout. And the title for Parshas Matos is called Gnus Hakas, that we should appreciate, you know, the negative attributes of and repercussions of anger. Now, in order to understand this piece, we're going to look for a word in this week's Parsha, which is called Vayiktsof, which literally translates, and he got angry. We're going to have a lot to say about this phrase. It's here in Parshas Matos. I'll open it up and maybe I'll pass it around. And we'll soon see it. He says the following. This is based on a Maimer Chazal in Masechet Nedarim that's attributed to Rabba Bar Avuna. Kol HaKoes, anyone who gets angry, Afilu Shechina Eina Chashuva Kenegdo, even the Shechina, which normally would find its abode close to this person, that's how great of a person is, at that moment in time, once he gets angry, the Shechina just runs away. So that anger is antithetical to that close relationship, that intimacy with the Shechina. And then, this is the most important part. If you have a pen or a pencil and you want to underline it, these are the words that I would encourage you to underline. Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti Omar, Mishakeach Talmudo. It causes him to forget his learning.
Forget his what?
His learning, his studies, his Torah knowledge. This is unreal. You know, today they have all sorts of drugs that they give you that, you know, if you undergo certain treatments or certain procedures, you know, and they give you a drug to make you forget what you're going through. But here's a different type of a drug that's going to make you forget your Torah. And that's anger. And we'll see exactly how we develop this idea. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk in Koheles. You know, Koheles talks often about a ksil. A ksil is like a fool. And he speaks about kas, that kas is like ksilim yanuach. You know, a ksil is someone who doesn't have much Torah knowledge. And this is a person who became a ksil, so to speak. He forgot his Torah knowledge. And why? Because he got angry. So those are the first two statements that we have, Bignus HaKas. First is that Shechina runs away from him. The second is that he forgets his learning. The third statement is, in the name of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Avonosav Merubim Mischuyosav. This is an unbelievably scary kind of thing, that if he has Kas and he's angry, then when you weigh on the scale his positive mitzvot against his negative mitzvot, guess what? His negative mitzvot is avonos, right? The sins are going to be more weighty than his merits. And this we derive from, again, a pasuk in Shlomo Melech in Mishlei, says, Ubal chema rav pesha. Someone who gets angry has rav pesha. Rav is milosh and rov. Rov means majority. Pesha is his sins. All that is coming from a Gemara in Nedarim on Daf Chaf Beis. If you fast forward to Daf Ayin Aleph in the same Masechta, Omer of Yehuda kol hakoes kol minig enim sholtim bo. It means when a person gets angry, he has no self-control. And all sorts of terrible things will get a hold of him. And therefore Shlomo Melech says, Va'aser kas mi libcha va'aver ra'ah mi psarecha. We just saw in the Peleoetz that he quotes this very same pasuk in Koheles in order to establish that the impact of kas is not just psychological and spiritual, it's also physical. It's going to have an impact on his body, on his basar. But we're going to focus now, amongst all these negative implications or repercussions of kas, we're going to now single and focus on one specific impact, and that is the forgetting of one's Talmud. Because that's going to be something that's really connected to our parsha. So we're going to open up to Parshas Matos, and I'm going to read to you the following post. Now, this is the big Bluchu Moshim. It's on page 418. I'll pass this around for you. It says, "Vayiktsof Moshe al pkudei hachoil." What happens is, in the aftermath of the battle that resulted, battle against Midian, that resulted because they send their daughters. You remember the Bnos Moav was sent to entice the men, and the military leaders were sent to fight this battle, and they were told very strictly, very clearly, with instructions not to take any captors. I mean, that we could destroy them. And Vayitzof Moshe al pkudei hachoil, and Moshe gets angry on the leaders of the tzava, of the military campaign, and he says, Vayomar aleihem Moshe, hachayisem kol nekeva. Why did you bring back the girls? I mean, the girls were the whole problem, and you spared them. And Moshe gets angry. So there's a member of Reish Lakish in Pesachim that we want to study, and he says the following, that forget about all the punishments that God is going to mete out to someone who gets angry for that bad midah. Leave that out right now. Let's talk about the result of anger. The result of anger. And he says that anger is going to cause a person to go down in his spiritual level. His status from a religious spiritual perspective is now diminished. Reish Lakish says, "Kol adam shekoes," a man that gets angry, "im chachamu chachmaso mistalekes vimeno." Me Moshe, and I'll prove it to you from Moshe. And he says the following. If you take a look at the smichus ha-parshios, meaning the close connection between one parsha and the other, what follows immediately after Moshe Rabbeinu's anger, just a few psukim later, is that we have the parsha which is called Klei Midyan. I'll just mention very quickly, because that's not our focus for tonight, what Klei Midyan is. That they were able to take with the booty the vessels of Midyan when they defeated them, and those vessels were treif. They had a what's called a Belias Iser. So there's an entire parasha, many nuances of halachas here, but had to be machshir kelim, and we have achazazov, the metal kelim, and kol davar shebe'esh. But I'm not going into that. But guess what? Who's teaching this entire parasha? You and I would say, without even looking, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He teaches all the halachas. Name. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Elazar HaKohen.
Because he got angry, that's why he couldn't teach.
Oh, that's it. You guessed it. That's Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that let's derive from Moshe Rabbeinu the tziv vayiktsof Moshe al pikudei achoil. By the way, if you do a word search with the word vayiktsof, it'll show up a few times in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And those are the few occasions that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. We're going to focus on a few of them tonight, three of them. But now we're focused on Parshas Matos. And what happens immediately afterwards? Vayomer Elazar HaKohen, El Anshei HaTzava, Zos Chukas HaTorah, etc., etc. Says Reish Lakish, why is Elazar HaKohen teaching these halachas? Michlal, we have to derive from this to Moshe I'alei Mineh, that these halachas just disappeared from Moshe. Certainly had been taught these halachas. It was part of the transition of Torah, and our Sinai that Moshe Rabbeinu received from Hashem all the Torah, including this parasha. And therefore, kol hakoes, if somebody gets angry, afilu poskim olav gedula min hashamayim, even if he's great, and up in Shemayim he's been ruled or classified as one of the greats, moridin oso, they take him down. And the Gemara quotes a parsha in Shmuel about somebody by the name of Eliav, and Eliav apparently got angry, and as a result of his anger, Hashem rejected him. He could have become one of the greats. And the Gemara basically establishes that when a person sins because he gets angry, in other words, his sin is anger, then his level goes down in the eyes of God, and not only that, he forgets his chachma. So Moshe Rabbeinu now has to be replaced at this point by Elazar. Elazar is going to teach this whole parasha of Klei Midyan. And why? Because Vayiktsof Moshe, he got angry. And he says the following.
Want some water?
No, I'm okay. I have tea. I just...
this morning, or is it more recent than that?
This I just filled up right before we started, but you know the trouble with hot water is it doesn't stay hot for long.
You want more? I can get you more if you want.
Maybe in a few minutes, David. Right now, I want to, you know, we're a very small group. I want you to be with me. He says the following. You know, this next line here. If I didn't know any better, I would say that he copied it from the Peleoids. It's word for word the Peleoids. He says we have to find the derech, the method, laharchik es midas hakas. Right? You remember we spoke about siag. Fences, distancing yourself from kas. The Peleoids gave us a whole list of counsel, of eitzah, how to do that. He says, number one, and this again we saw in the Peleoids, that limud, we have to study, we have to understand, we have to read over and over again all that Chazal say about the terrible gnus of midas hakas. But he says the following, that even after we do this, you know, we make this effort, there's still a very great pitfall here with regard to kas. Why? The main problem with anger, and this we did not see in the Peleoids, this is a couple of centuries after the Peleoids, is that after a person gets angry, instead of blaming himself, he justifies it. See, sin has two sides to it. One side is that, and Rav Kook writes about this at great length, a person feels naturally guilty after he does the sin. Even while he's involved in the sin, he realizes that he's doing something repulsive that's below his level. But on the other hand, and this is the worst case scenario, sometimes a person sins, and instead of saying al-chait and blaming himself, he justifies it. And that's the problem with kas. Kas is a perfect case of a sin where a person, instead of recognizing his sin, he's going to justify it. And what's he going to say? He's going to say, I know why I got angry. And he's going to blame it on someone else. And he quotes here the pasuk, if you remember, this is by Hevel, by Kayin, it says, Lepetach chatas rovitz, right? That the Yetzer Hara is right there at the Pesach, and what happens? He says Midas Hakas Me'avetes es Shikol Adas. When a person gets angry, he doesn't see things objectively; he forfeits his ability to judge, to evaluate objectively. And for sure, he's going to come to the conclusion that he was right, and the other person was wrong. But when we look in the words of our rabbis, we're going to find out that even in a case where a person is justified for getting angry, he still should not get angry. He's playing with fire. Anger has a natural consequence. It is going to bring a person down. It's going to have, as we said over and over again, it's going to have a negative impact both on his soul and on his physical body. Let's take a look at our word search, as I call it. We search for the word vayiktsov, and we found it three times. There are three occasions, three episodes, in which Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. And the first common denominator of all three is that Moshe forgets his Torah. He forgets his Torah. The first case is Shabbos. We're going to see that there's a Mekoshesh Eitzim. Again, we'll get into it. Don't get nervous. And Moshe Rabbeinu forgets the law. The second case is from our parasha, Matos, called Kli Matechos, that we have to take these vessels and we have to purify them. We have to kasher them up. And the third occasion that Moshe loses it and he doesn't remember the halacha is called an Onen. An Onen is someone who just lost one of his close relatives. So let's go through these three cases. The first case is Shabbos. What happens that Moshe gets angry with regard to Shabbos? If you remember, this is in Parshas B'Shalach.
They gathered too much manna.
Excellent. I'm impressed. How did you know that?
Well.
Wow, I'm really impressed. You got me on this one. I, you know, I knew already you're bright, but I didn't know how bright you are. Yes, this is very impressed. What happened is Moshe gives strict orders that on a daily basis they collect the man for that day, and they have total faith in Hashem. And instead they went out and they didn't have faith in God, and they collected. Now this happened on Shabbos, and on Shabbos there was a special Easter, a prohibition of against collecting the man. Again, in certain cases they have to go even out of the machna to collect the man, and that's prohibited. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at the people, and we'll see soon that in the very next parasha he forgets the halachas of Shabbos. Then we had this parasha, which I'm not going to repeat right now, or because the other people heard it already, but it's not that important, don't get nervous. And then finally we have the third parasha, which is the parasha of Onan. Now the parasha of Onan is quite complicated. I'll try to simplify it because we don't have to know all the details. There are sugyos and zvachim about this whole parsha. And what happens is, if you remember, Nadav Aviv, two of Aaron's sons, died. Now, before they died, they had brought the carbon on the Mizbeach, but they didn't get a chance to be makriv the carbon, to bring the carbon. They just prepared it. And then they died, because an ash came down and burnt them. And then the issue became the two surviving brothers, that's Elazar v'Itamar, what to do with the carbon. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. And this is the third time in the Torah it says, Vayiktzof. And it says, Vayiktzof al Elazar v'al Itamar. And he gets angry. Madu alo achaltem es achatos. You should have brought the carbon chatos, which means that the Kohanim have to eat the basar of the chatos, and they didn't. They just threw out, they completely burnt the chatos. And Kevon Shekas, once Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, Nis'almela mimenu halacha. He forgot halacha. What's the halacha? That an onen, now keep in mind, an onen just lost one of his close relatives. In the case of Itamar and Elazar, and certainly Aaron himself, they were onanim, meaning they just lost two brothers or two sons, and that's Nadav Avir. And therefore, they were enjoined from eating the kodshim. They couldn't eat the karma, because it's halach that an onan is not allowed to eat kodshim. Today we have it a little differently, that an onan can't eat meat until after the burial. But as far as the original halach was, he can't eat the karma. And Moshe Rabbeinu forgot that halacha. I mean, again, I don't know if the audience here is aware of what this means, that Moshe Rabbeinu would forget the halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Nosei HaTorah. He's in charge with the responsibility to transmit the Torah. If he forgets the Torah, that to say it lightly, that's not a good thing. I mean, that's understating. And why on three occasions the Pasuk says, Vayiktzof. Now here comes Reb Chaim Shmulevitz with a brilliant insight. And that's the paragraph that starts Vehine. So if you like to underline things or check things off, this is the main, you know, what I call the kishkes, you know, of the whole presentation, the whole essay. He says the following. Let's go one by one through all three cases, and I'm going to prove to you that the common denominator is not just A, that Moshe got angry in these three episodes, B, that he forgot the halacha, but C, and this is Reb Chaim Shlevitz's chiddush, he was justified in his anger. Can I say that one more time for myself? He was justified in his anger. Let's go through the three cases. First, we talk about Melcheves Midyan. We went out to battle against Midyan because of whom? Who was the problem? The girls were the problem. I hate to say it. You know, nobody should be insulted here. But it was the Midianite girls. They were the problem here. And instead, What did the leaders of the military campaign do? They brought back the girls. There's no question that this was a major mistake. And Moshe Rabbeinu was angry at them. They didn't follow the orders. They brought back what's called a michshol. Michshol means something that could lead to a person falling spiritually, right? You bring back these girls. A stumbling block. Excellent. Thank you so much. Hayu min adin lichos aleihem. That's on line 4 of this paragraph, if you want to underline that. Min adin, meaning according to the law, he was absolutely justified. That's number one. Now we go through the case of man. Moshe Rabbeinu had commanded them, Ish al Yoser mimenu ad haboker, don't carry it over to the next morning. Don't stay. Don't maintain your ownership of possession over the man, because you have to believe in God. It's going to come down tomorrow, and they sinned against this. And not only that, the sin itself, chatam hayu b'nes atzmo shenitin lechem nishmai b'tzivu shel yosiru. God gave them a great miracle, and He said to them, "Don't leave it over till the next day." They should eat what they need for that day, and that's it. And they left it over to the next day, and they violated the Tzivri of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And basically what they did was they so to speak, figuratively kicked the miracle, you know, and it was Ubevadai. There's no question, I would underline these words, how your makom gadol liktzof aleihem. There was a great justification for Moshe to get angry at them. And Chazal say it's a Yalkut Shimoni on the Pesuk of Daniel Lechashem Atzdok of Alonu Boshes Aponim. Boshes Aponim means that a person should feel a sense of embarrassment and humiliation when he doesn't live up to the calling, to the mandate of God. And B'shas HaNes HaGodol Shekriyas Yamsuf HaVirus Pesel Micha Aleihem. They were already guilty of this kind of thing, that at the moment of a miracle they sinned and rebelled against God, and now they're doing it again. Says Reb Chaim, this is the paragraph that starts with Afal Pichem, Kevon Shekas, we have to understand the power of anger, the impact of anger. Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry, he's justified in his anger. Again, we've only covered 2 out of 3 of the cases. But
so
we'll
what
get,
does that mean, he's justified?
He should be angry. Okay. What do you mean? He's the leader of the people.
So that's okay.
It should be okay, but yet, take a look what happens to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we don't appreciate what kas, what anger is all about, and the impact of anger. He forgets his halacha. Says Rav Chaim Shulevitz, you know what that means? That what we learned before in Rav Nachman, in who was it? It was Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti, and then in Reish Lakish, that a person will forget his Torah. Ain't no onesh, that's not a punishment. If it was a punishment, then if Moshe is justified in getting angry, How could he be punished for something that he was justified? Elahu inyan tiv'i. Tiv'i means this is built into the very reality, the very mechanics. It's almost like the physics of the universe. That God created a universe with a certain physical principle, but now it's a psychological, spiritual principle. That kas is a fire. And when there's a fire, you better run away. If you don't run away, you're going to get burned. Not as punishment, because the fire is going to burn you. And he says the following. There's no difference whether the kas, the anger, is justified or it's not justified. Kas is a fire. Kas is a power that causes you to forget your Torah. It's antithetical to your Torah knowledge. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, not to be punished, but simply as a result of getting angry, he forgets his Torah. But we have one more case. And this is the case of the Chatos, that was brought by Nadav Aviv, and then subsequently it was burned by Itamar Vilos. He says, the Rush says that the principle is that Osur Lahoros Halacha B'fnei Rabo Gam Mashinogeh B'atzmo. Let's say, for example, I'm in the presence of my Rebbe, and I have to decide a halachic issue for myself. It's not relevant to anyone else but myself. You would think, if not for the Rosh, that in such a case, I have a right to paskin for myself.
Not in front of the Rebbe.
Not in front of the Rebbe. Even if it's only relevant to you. Forget about paskining for something that's relevant to the entire assembly. And you're gonna sideswipe your Rebbe as if he's not there. That for sure you're not allowed to do. But even if it's only relevant to yourself, don't paskin for yourself in the presence of your Rebbe. Ask him what to do. So one of the great commentaries on the Torah, his name was Rav Chaim Ben Attar. He wrote the author of the Or Chaim HaKadosh. He lived 5 centuries ago in Tzfat. He asked the following question. Aaron made a decision to burn the Chatos instead of eating the Chatos after the death of his 2 sons. What do you mean he made a decision? Ain lecha rav muvak Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu. All the Torah that Aaron received was from his younger brother Moshe. And how, asks the Archaim, could he have this audacity, so to speak, to decide for himself what to do with the Chatos, and in this case to burn the Chatos, without asking Moshe Rabbeinu? So Chaim Shalevitz says that I think there's an answer to this question. And that is because Moshe got angry and he forgot his Torah. And the Torah that he forgot is that an Onan, who just lost one of his close relatives, is not allowed to eat from Kachin. And therefore, if you ask the question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu get angry at them? And it's funny, there's a funny kind of sequence over here. The chronological order of events is a little bit paradoxical here, because what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at them, and after he gets angry at them, he forgets that an onen is osur b'kodshi doros. So there's something very, very odd that's going on, and Moshe gets angry, and apparently he forgot something as a result of his anger. So at what point in time did he forget? Again, if we assume that the punishment for anger was that he forgot, so what would you say was Moshe Rabbeinu's status or situation at the moment that he got angry? Did he remember the halacha?
No, he forgot.
No, but I'm saying at that moment, again, because he got angry, he's going to forget. That's going to be his punishment. But apparently, at that moment, before he got angry, okay, he was well aware of the fact that an onen is not allowed to eat kachin. So why is he getting angry? Do you understand? We're involved in a vicious cycle over here. Because if Moshe knew the halacha, and he remembered the halacha, that an onen is not allowed to eat kachim, so why is he yelling at them for burning the kachim? That's exactly what they have to do. They can't eat the kachim.
Good question.
And now he's saying that as a result of the fact that he got angry, he forgot the halacha. Well, that means that he knew the halacha beforehand, so why was he angry at them? And the answer, says the Archaim, is because they should have asked him the question. What do we do with this kachim?
And each anavi doesn't stand up for formalities.
But it's not a formality. As you'll soon see, this halacha Mesiris HaTorah. What is Mesiris HaTorah? Mesiris HaTorah means that you may be convinced that the halacha requires you to do so forth. And if your Rebbe's not around, that's what you got to do. But in the presence of your Rebbe, you don't come to conclusions on your own. You ask the Rebbe. This, I remember, Rav Salvechik once got very angry because he davened on Yom HaTzmaut in a minyan with Bnei Akiva.
Right.
What happened was, I don't know if he got a blade or whatever, so in the morgue, that's where he used to sleep in the Morgenstern dorm, so there was a minyan right next door to his apartment. So on that particular Yom HaTzmaut, he found himself davening with this group. He didn't know what was going on. And instead of asking him, as the Rosh Kavahad, the Mar D'Asra, what to do on Yom HaTzvut, there's so many issues about Halil and this and the other thing, they went ahead and they did their Bnei Akiva stuff. He was livid. Why? Not that he took it personally, but that's not what Torah is all about. Torah is that you ask the Rebbe. That's the way Torah has to be transmitted. So Aaron is you know, in the presence of his greatest Rebbe. I mean, anything that Aaron knew is because Moshe Rabbeinu brought it to Ephra Sinai and transmitted it to Aaron. Aaron was the first in line to receive the transmission. And Aaron is now paskening halacha without asking Moshe Rabbeinu. So what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. Says Reb Chaim Shulevitz, you'll see this on the next page, that Moshe Rabbeinu is justified in getting angry. And this is three for three, if you know what I mean. This is the third occasion in which Moshe Rabbeinu's anger was justified, because in fact Aaron made a boo-boo over here by paskening without asking Moshe, who's right there in front of him. And the Rosh says that even if you're paskening for yourself in the presence of your Rebbe, you have to ask your Rebbe. So we see clearly, and this is, you'll see on the third line on this page, Shinayin Vav, Kedin Kas Moshe, that Moshe was justified, and yet he forgot his Torah. Why? And the answer is because forgetting your Torah is not a punishment. It is built into the very reality, the very mitzius of kas. Kas causes a person to forget his Torah, whether you like it or not. It's a fire. And if you put expose yourself to the fire, you'll get burned.
Fire damages.
It's not a punishment. It's a natural consequence. I just want to point out before we go on that in this book there's another sicha, another Musa Shmuz by Reb Chaim Shulevitz, where he has the very, very similar structure. So I'll just mention it as we pass along. You know that Chana was childless, and her sister Pnina had 7 children, and she used to needle. Pnina used to needle her sister Chana. I don't know if needle is a good word.
Teaser.
Chazal say that she had l'shem shamayim involved because she wanted to force Chana to pray on the most profound level. We learn many halachas from Tfilas Chana. And yet the Medrash says that she buried all of her 7 children. So Reb Chaim Shulevitz says the following, that when you hurt somebody, that's fire. You can come up with all the justifications in the world, but you're playing with fire. And this is not a punishment. This is just a natural consequence.
Did you hear the story about Chana?
Not in these pages. I can, if you like, after we finish, I could try to find it and Xerox. I just don't remember right now where it is. But you know, there's a very good index in the back. There's a very good index in the back. So I think hopefully the index will help us find it. Okay, I don't see it right now, but we'll try to find it. Let's go on because we don't have too much time, and I want to finish this maimer because I think, you know, starting with the Peleoids on Kas and then putting this together, and it's so relevant to our parasha, I think that's a nice accomplishment for tonight. He says the following. Let's take a look again at this parasha of the Soyer Chatos, meaning that carbon that was burnt by Aaron and his surviving sons. That according to the Archaim and his presentation, it comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu initially knew the halacha that an onen is osur b'kodshim, and he only got angry because they should have conferred with him. They should have asked him to clarify and to get Moshe Rabbeinu's ruling. But he got angry at them. And as a result of he got angry at them, he forgot the halacha. Now, once he forgets the halacha, he comes to them with a taina, a complaint, and he registers a complaint against them that they had no right to burn the korban. Now listen carefully. They were absolutely justified in halacha to burn the korban, because an onen has to burn the carb, but their mistake was that they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rav Chaim, Ador Mafli, I could just hear his voice, you know, saying this, you know. He used to say, Mavel Arayim, he had a very deep voice. Sha'af shechach moso shalakoes, mistalekes mimenu, aval ech yishkach mashahoy yodeh ze'ata. Right? In other words, he knew that, according to the Archaim, that they were justified, that an onen is not allowed to eat the meat, and therefore they were justified in burning the basar karbon, right? He knew that, and he was justified. And yet, he comes to complain to them that they illegally burnt the karbon. So why were they illegal? Why was it not halakhically mandated they should burn the karbon? If Moshe Rabbeinu knew that because of the din of aninus, they had to burn the carbon. The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu forgot. It's unbelievable. He forgets the halacha immediately, meaning at time T1, when he was upset with them because they didn't ask him the question. At that point, he knew that they did the right thing, and then he gets angry at them. Why? Because they didn't confer with him. They didn't consult with him. Mora halacha b'fnei rabba, right? Immediately, he starts yelling and screaming at them, you shouldn't have burnt the carbon. Why? Because he forgot that they were justified in burning the carbon. It's unbelievable. From one minute to the other, he forgets the halacha. In other words, the impact of kas is immediate. Says Rav Chaim Shulevitz, Yadua, She'ein, this is, you have to underline this next paragraph or check it off. It's beautiful, magnificent. He says the following. You know, there are people who study science and history and social, all the various branches of disciplines of knowledge, and they forget things. But they don't forget it within a second. You know something, you get angry at someone, and then you forget it, and then, you know, it doesn't make sense. Why? Because knowledge is separate from the person. Even though the person shouldn't have gotten angry, that's on a moral level, ethically, but that has no impact, or at least not immediately, on his mental capacity, because his knowledge is separate from his nefesh, from his soul. But Torah is absolutely different. Ein chochmas ha-Torah k'shar chochmas. You know, Aristotle is famous for saying, I know math, but I'm not a triangle. You know, they asked Aristotle how, you know, he wrote all these books on ethics, and then he was a lowlife in his own life. So he said, I don't have to be a triangle. You know, so I'm not a triangle. He says that knowledge is something external to a person. You know, there's the person, and there's the knowledge that he knows. He says, Yachol Adam, I'm convinced that he had in mind Aristotle. Yachol Adam Leos Mushchas Shemimushchusim, he's on the lowest level. But at the same time, he's a great genius, and he knows all the knowledge. We're not going to say that because of his immoral behavior, he's going to forget all his knowledge. He can get a, you know, he can get a 1600 on his college boards, right? And this is what we saw. But in Chochmas HaTorah, it's not the same. Chochmas HaTorah means that the Chochmah, the knowledge of Torah, has to penetrate into the very psyche and the very identity of the person, into his very essence. Torah will not reside and penetrate into the heart of someone who's guilty of character flaws, of immoral character. And that's why when the Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham could be mochel on his kavod, why? Because it's his Torah. It's his Torah because the Torah penetrates into his very being, his very essence, his identity is the Torah that he knows. So the Chiddush is not that it's his Torah, but on the contrary, the Chiddush is that the Torah is the Torah of Hashem, but a person can convert himself, transform himself into Torah. He becomes one with his Torah. And that's the basis for the Halacha Mechila. He says, if you ask me, why is it that a person immediately forgets his Torah the moment he gets angry? Moshe Rabbeinu very much knew that the halacha was that an onan can't eat the kodshim, but yet he forgot it immediately after he got angry. The answer is because the anger itself changes the nature of the person in such a way that no longer can the Chochmas HaTorah reside amongst this person.
Because it fills them up. If you just forget everything.
I don't know about everything. I'm not saying, in one split second you forget it all, but there's going to be some immediate impact of forgetfulness. Why? This talekes mimenu, his chachma leaves him once he comes into the state of kas, because Torah, the chachma of Torah, is not like the wisdom of any other secular discipline. The wisdom of Torah is something that has to penetrate into the very essence of a person. And if the person is now guilty of kas, then the Torah can't remain with him, so to speak. The Torah has to, in a sense, run away.
When the anger subsides, will the learning come back to him? When he calms down, he cools off, tomorrow's another day. He'll have to
rectify his kas and make sure he doesn't get angry. Look, I think what Rav Chaim Shulevitz means is the following. Again, this is Berzon, this is not Rav Chaim Shulevitz, but I think what he means is there is justified kas as long as the kas is external kas. Like, for example, Nebuchadnezzar, a child runs into the street and you have to discipline that child because chas v'shalom, his life is in danger. Obviously, you're going to get angry at him. But it's not anger. You show him externally as if you're angry. As if you're angry. Because you want to put the fear of death into his heart. But you don't get angry. Now, my take on this, again, I can't prove this to you, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was justified in his anger, but maybe there was one subtle point in which he crossed the boundaries and he was a little bit too emotionally involved. He allowed the anger to go from the outside to the inside. It wasn't just that he was showing the face of anger.
Yeah, because when you feel it inside, yes, it definitely creates something.
Right. It has a tremendous impact. And that's what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a result, he couldn't maintain his chachma because, you know, when the person's psyche changes in such a way because of kas, then the Torah can't be one with his entity, and knowledge of Torah is different than all other kinds.
You get angry, but you should not become emotionally angry.
Exactly, it's almost the facade.
It shouldn't take you over.
Right. Once you let the anger take you over, it gets emotional, it penetrates, it takes you over. It really transforms you. And Reb Chaim is saying, once you transform yourself and you can no longer identify with Torah, because Torah has to be in a psyche that's pure. All right, we don't have too much time left. I'm trying to think what we could possibly accomplish here in the next few minutes. I mean, there's a whole discussion here at the end of this article, in the last paragraph, which I don't want to get into now. And he says, the greater you are in the scale of chachma, the more you are a chacham, the more you're capable of getting angry. The pitfall of anger is even greater for a person who's on that high level. But I don't want to spend our last 2 minutes on that. I'll just tell you over a little bit about Elio and Elisha. What happens is that the Nevi'im, there were a whole bunch of prophets who were disciples of Elio. Elio didn't die, but he went up to Shamayim. And the prophets realized that this was going to happen because they already received the prophecy that, let's say tomorrow, I don't know exactly how many hours, but Elio is going to be taken away from us. And yet, those very same prophets say to Elisha is the prime, you know, he's the next, the takeover for the replacement, so to speak, the next generation for Elio. They say to Elisha, Yevakshu es Adonecha. Where is Elio? Maybe some wind carried him away. We have to start searching for him. You know, he's a missing person. So Rashi asks the following question. Yesterday, they themselves prophesied that Elio is going to be taken away. And now, they're asking, well, let's look for him. He's got to be under some, you know, he's hidden under some tree, some brush or something. Melamed, says Rashi, that the moment that Elio was taken away, the Ruach HaKodesh was taken away from the Nevi'im. And basically what happened is they forgot what they knew yesterday. And he asks the following question, Yesh L'tmoa. On the second paragraph, he says on page 9, he's like, Sha'afki ador muvan mikanu lahaba. Maybe again, from now on, for the moment that Elio is taken away, they lose their Ruach HaKodesh and they don't have nevuah. But they knew that Hayom Hashem Lokech HaSadonech. They themselves prophesized it. But the answer is that nevuah is different than any other piece of knowledge. You know, other information and science and secular knowledge is different than nevuah. Nevuah is something that a person achieves because of the very essence of his personality, of his psyche, of his spiritual nature. He asagat tuya b'dargoso, and it reflects his level in spirituality on this very hierarchy of spirituality. And therefore he has to come close to Hashem, and the nevuah stays with him as long as he's close to Hashem. But when Elio died, again, he didn't really die, but he was taken up to Shamayim, then immediately they lost that madrega of nevuah. They couldn't maintain it. They lost that closeness to Hashem because of Elio's being taken away. So anything that they knew beforehand would not be meaningful for them, because what they knew beforehand was based on their personality and their status as Nevi'im. And Reb Chaim says the same thing is with regard to Chachmas HaTorah, that the Chachma will always remain with the Talmud Chacham, but only if his midos, if his qualities and his ethics are up to par. But once he goes down from his Madrega, even his Chachma is lost. Okay, then we'll stop here. We accomplished a great deal. I want to thank you. And if anybody wants to learn Parsha, I have a great insight into the Parsha here.
Thank you.
Thank you.